Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world for us. We understand that He bought our salvation with His own blood, that He suffered for us, that He made it possible for us to come unto Thee. We thank Thee for it, and we pray Thee now, our Father, as we study, that Thy Holy Spirit may take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. The earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ comes up to a great climax when He stands before Pontius Pilate and is on trial for His life, a trial that's going to end with His condemnation, from which He's going to be taken and put on the cross. In many respects, this scene where you find the Lord Jesus standing before Pontius Pilate sets before us in one simple picture the whole issue of the gospel with any one man. Instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ entirely in this incident, you might keep your eye on Pilate. Here is Pontius Pilate in a position to rule for or against Jesus of Nazareth. And on that ruling, in a certain real sense, he decides the issue of his own personal fortune. I think in some respects, some of us could actually feel sympathetic and feel some sense of charity toward Pontius Pilate, because you and I will keep in mind that Pilate didn't ask for this situation. When he became governor of that particular province, I don't think he realized that he would become, in some respects, one of the most famous men in the world because he condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think he had that in mind. I think a good thing for us to understand about Pontius Pilate is that in all probability he would be much like a businessman today, a successful businessman. He had come to a place of considerable prominence, and he had done this by paying attention to business. And as one reads through the story of this trial, you can't help but feel that this was a man who in many respects would have been counted a fairly good man, because actually he had nothing personal against the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had no particular zeal against anything that was being done in the spiritual realm at this time. There is a very real aspect, however, in which we can see in Pilate something every one of us should be careful about. We find that Pilate had the opportunity to pass judgment on Jesus of Nazareth, and he did so in the line of his own personal interests, and in so doing, he condemned the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that has made his name notorious forever and ever. The whole incident itself is not a long story, and I think I would like to read it to you that you could follow it as you go along. Remember, as we're reading along in here, we can think of the Lord Jesus standing before a human being that has the power to condemn him. He has the power to receive him or to reject him. And if you would wonder about the importance of that, I can tell you that that's the way it is with you and with me. There is a very real sense in which we have the power and the authority to receive or to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to be reading in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 27, beginning to read at verse 11. Matthew 27, verse 11, and these are the words. And Jesus stood before the governor. And that's all it said. That puts the whole issue right there in front of you. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? That's what they'd accused him of. And Jesus saith unto him, Thou sayest. That's again that expression which is to say, You said it. Which is one way of emphasizing the word yes. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. After he had been brought up there and had been identified, and Pontius Pilate had come to know who he was, and these men argued against him, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You can just, for the moment, you can just put yourself in Pilate's place. He has talked to the man, he has drawn attention to his danger, and the man doesn't say a word. And they bring in all the accusations against him, he doesn't say a word. No wonder then that Pilate asks him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, which is a rather roundabout way of saying that at that particular feast the governor was willing to release one of the prisoners if the crowd would ask for him. This was a gesture on the part of the Roman government in which they would try to convey the idea to the Jewish people that they, the Roman government, were not really harsh. They were not really hard-boiled. They did not really mean to create a disturbance that was unfair. And at this time of the year, in connection with their religious ceremonies, they gave them their choice. And they could just put their finger on any man that was in prison and say they wanted him free, and they'd get him free. And Pilate thinks of a way in which he can spare the Lord Jesus. So, having thought about this, they had then, I read in verse 16, they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, and from elsewhere we know that he was a trouble rouser, that he had actually a mob with him who followed him, and he had moved in to create a disturbance in the city of Jerusalem. So they had this man a prisoner. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. This, on the part of Pilate, would be considered a very clever move. He puts this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is called Christ, and who must have been known throughout the whole community as only a man who did good, he puts him before them at the same time that he puts this man Barabbas, that everybody knows is a vicious man, a man who has done wrong. So he says, which of the two do you want? And then, by the way, we get another little insert here that's of significance to all of us. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Word came from his wife to say, Don't do anything against Jesus of Nazareth. I have had a very, very bad dreams about him, and I am just worried about this thing, so don't you do anything against him. This is also a very practical way for us to notice that Pilate was actually being helped by advice from the one person in the world that knew him better and loved him more than anyone else, we will say. And she sent this word in. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. I'm sure that must have been a shock to him. And Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. This is the way they've been led. This is the way in which they talk out. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And then we read this. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he saw it was no use trying to go against the crowd, that they just were developing into a mob, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. This was a gesture on his part of disclaiming responsibility. When he washed his hands, he was like a man who was saying, in effect, I have nothing to do with it. None of the evil of this action is my responsibility. But you and I can just stop and think to ourselves how vain we can be, how foolish and how empty we can be. Pilate may have thought that this was a way in which he would claim he had nothing to do with it, but the whole world holds Pilate responsible. You and I both know that, as far as the whole world is concerned, that's ever heard the gospel story, There are two men in connection with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that no one is ever disposed to forgive. One is his Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, and the other is Pontius Pilate, who condemned him. And I'm very much interested in Pilate for this reason, that I have to remember that Pilate didn't mean any harm. Pilate hadn't gone out to go anything against the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the course of it, he really tried to spare him. But that's just sentiment on my part. The truth of the matter is that although he had the opportunity to do it, Pilate was busy with other things. He didn't give himself to it, and he allowed this thing to happen. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now the scourging him, you know, that means that they whipped him. That means that they beat him, which was the customary thing to do with a convicted man in those days. And so we have read through this great moment in which the man Pontius Pilate made the big decision of his whole life. And he decided to go against the Lord Jesus Christ because he thought it was going to help him politically. He thought that it would be an expedient thing to do, that they would just dispose of him, even if he personally was sorry for him, sorry he got into this trouble. But now that the trouble was here, it had to be cleared up, and it was going to be cleared up by these fine people who had tried to work out a solution with the Lord Jesus and had finally brought him into their own courts and had condemned him. So Pilate has the feeling that he's got on his hands a man that the Jewish community has repudiated, and who is he necessarily to step in, just cause more trouble? And anyway, he had other things on his mind. I'm putting all that out before you because you have in that almost an exact picture of many a man's mind with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many a businessman is confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ and doesn't want to be. He's asked, "What will you do with Jesus?" He doesn't want to say. "Will you accept him or reject him?" He doesn't want to commit himself. He wishes the whole issue were taken away. If you and I should ever have that feeling, may God give us the grace to know that you cannot turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, we're either for him or against him. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand this clearly, and in our hearts to turn to the Lord and give ourselves over to him for his name's sake, we ask it. Amen.